Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15? 1 Samuel chapter 15. How many of you happy you're saved? Amen. You ought to let your face know it. Amen. All right. Well, it is good to be here. And Brother Dylan said, my name is Evangelist Jake DeAndre. Many of you I have met, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to come back and be a part of what I think is the best college in America. Amen. I will always be indebted to this place. There are countless lessons that I've learned when I came to this place. And let me tell you, I wish I could pay these men and these ladies back for all that they've done for me. But you know what I find? The greatest way you can pay someone back is this. Be faithful. Be faithful to your Savior. Why? Because it is upon their account that fruit may abound. Hey, can I help you out? Be faithful. Be faithful. Why? Because, hey, your mom and dad have invested a whole lot of money for you to come here. Your teachers have decided, you know what, we want to invest in the next generation. So, hey, be faithful. And you'll be amazed what God will do through that faithfulness. Well, I have a guest that is with me. I have a young man. His name is Josh Engle. And he and his wife, Krista, many of you know Krista Elliott. They travel with us in evangelism, and so the Lord has given me the burden of helping the next generation. And so for the last couple of years, three tours, I think, a fall tour, a spring tour, and then again this fall tour, Josh and Krista have been with us, and Josh is back here. We're on our way. We just finished up in Welcome, North Carolina. How many of you know where Welcome is? Welcome to Welcome. Isn't that convenient, all right? But we were up in Welcome, North Carolina, and then preached over at Calvary and King yesterday at chapel, and then today here. And boy, I'm looking forward to today and tomorrow. Now, someone, I think Brother Hanky said, hey, if you ain't got nothing to do, pray. Hey, can I tell you, that's not nothing to do. That's something big to do. Because I have found after now going, January is going to be our 12th year in evangelism, we can tell what meetings have been prepared and what meetings have not been prepared for. And here it is, how much time God's people have prayed. Hey, I want to see something supernatural happen tomorrow. I've already put my petition in. I've already asked God, God, I want you to show up and step in and take over. Why? Because we need it. We need to see His manifest glory in our presence. Can I say it this way? You need it. Why? Because that's what God does. So I hope that that would be the case. So thankful to have Josh with me this week. We're heading to Greer, South Carolina. So after Saturday, pack up the trailer one more time, and we'll head it down to Greer. Then we got a couple more weeks in PA, and we'll be in Lititz, PA, and then we'll be up in Three Springs, PA, with Tyus Palmer, another ambassador graduate. And so hopefully it's not snowing. Amen. All right. So hopefully it's not snowing in PA. And then we finally make it home. So we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to go home. But 1 Samuel chapter 15, would you stand with me out of respect of reading God's word if you're physically able? I believe that this morning I'm going to unleash, I believe, the secret of seeing the supernatural happen in our lives. You say, what is it? Well, I believe what the reason why we don't see the supernatural, Reisinger, is the fact that we have hindrances. There's some things that stop it. God wants you, doesn't He? Haven't you read your Bible where the Bible tells us He wants to bless us? Well, then why don't we? Why don't we see that revived life? Why don't we see the supernatural in our life? You see, if I were to describe most of our Christian lives in this room, here it is. Here it is. Ready? Sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. Here's my question. Where's the victory in that? Here's what you sing. Oh, victory in Jesus. You know what you ought to sing? You ought to sing defeated in Jesus. Because truthfully, that's where we live. We don't see the supernatural. We don't see the victory. Well, why? Well, we come upon the pages of 1 Samuel chapter 15, and this is a well-known portion of Scripture. Well-known portion of Scripture. But look with me in verse number 24 as the preacher, Samuel, has gone and told Saul that he's rejected him as king. The Lord, or the God, has rejected him as being king. And look what Saul says in verse number 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. This morning, I'd like to preach a message I've entitled, Did You Really Mean That? Did you really mean that? And this morning, my proposition is simply this: confession, I'm sorry, God, without repentance, but I really don't want to change, is worthless in the sight of God. Confession, I'm sorry, God. Oh, how quick we are to say I'm sorry. Without repentance is worthless in the sight of God. Before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, you're a great God, and I'm so thankful that you are God that shows us truth. Father, it's the truth that sets us free. Father, we're here this morning because we need to hear from you. We don't need to hear from Jake DeAndre. We need to hear from you. And Father, I pray that you would take the distractions of the test that we have to take next hour and what needs to be done at Rekindle and all the things, the details that need to be met before Saturday's meeting. And Father, you would place them outside the walls of this sanctuary. And Father, we would be able to understand truth. Lord, we'd clue in. Lord, you would give us enlightenment. Lord, once you give us that, Father, we would completely obey you. Father, I need your help tonight. Father, I pray that you would do something special in the invitation time. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to give to you this morning a typical day in the life, the boyhood of Jake DeAndre. I grew up in a preacher's home, and I have two sisters, all right? I have an older sister, and I have a younger sister. I am the only man-child of the family. How many of you are the only man-child of the family? All right, good. You're going to understand. How many of you are the middle child? Raise your hand. All right, so you can understand some of this too. So a typical day in my home, as a boy, is there would be times in which my sisters and I would get in trouble. Now, truthfully, not every time was it my fault. Now, Doc, there were some times it was my fault, okay? But there were a lot of times it wasn't my fault. But because I was the only man child and I was the middle child, there were many times that I got busted for it. So here's how it worked. We would be playing all of a sudden in the basement and something would go wrong. And one of my sisters would let out one of those heinous cries. Ah! And man, just like clockwork. You would hear my mom say, Jacob, Edward, DeAndre. And let me tell you, when mama used your middle name, you were done. And so here's the typical way. I'd have to walk up those six steps, and then I'd turn, Brother Doyle, and I'd walk up the next six steps because we lived in a tri-level, and I'd walk down that long hallway. It seemed forever long, and on the last room on the left was my room, and that's where I would go. And then sure enough, we would go in there, and it seemed like forever. I mean forever before they would ever come and visit you again. But man, finally they would show up, and man, I tell you what. My parents didn't believe in timeouts. I'm just telling you, all right? The only timeout they had is they got tired and they needed a rest before they started a licking on me again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they just gave it to me. And so, man, after that, if you thought that was bad, that was the good part of the discipline. You say, that's the good part? Yeah, listen, it got worse. Because after I got licked, then I have to walk all the way back down that hallway, walk down those six steps, and come face to face with my sister. I hate this. To this day, I don't like it. And my mom or my dad would make me, at the age of 8 or 9 years old, say to me, now listen to this, Brother Dylan, this isn't right. She would, or he would say, now Jake, hug your sister. There's some things that a young man should not have to do. And at 8 or 9, I'm telling you, that's something a young man should not have to do. And so, man, I'd go up there, and because if you didn't hug your sister, you'd walk right back upstairs down that long hallway, go all the way down to the left, hang a left on that last door, and you'd get whooped again. And so, man, it would became, I created the nano hug. You know what I'm saying? Like nanosecond, whoo, boom, there it is, man, that's it. I am not touching her. Why? She just got me busted and I didn't even do anything. And so, man, I tell you what, they wouldn't say, now, Jake, hug your sister. I'm like, I don't want to hug my sister. Matter of fact, to this day, I have like some problem hugging my sister, okay? And they're adults. But then it got worse. You say, no, yeah. It got worse. You say, well, how could it get any worse than that? Because my mom or dad would say, all right, Jake, now that you hugged your sister, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell them you're sorry. Brother Hanky, I would sit there and I'd look across from there and I'd try it. I'm say it! And mom or dad would point. I'm, oh man, I hated saying I was sorry to my sisters. And finally, I would say, I'm sorry. Oh. And here's what my sisters would do. They would cock their hips like this and put their finger at me like this and say, did you really mean that? Oh, I said, wait till we get on the playground. Your face is going first face in the mud, and we're going to do this all over again. You know why? Because what I just described is really what we do to God all the time. We come to God and we say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry that I lusted. God, I'm sorry that I lied to my teacher. God, I'm sorry that I had a bad attitude. But what? Truthfully, just like me, oh, I was sorry. I told her I was sorry. I did. But I didn't want to change my mind. And what happens is we live our whole entire Christian life getting real good at telling God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. 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 And we then we add Bible verses to it. 1 John 1:9. But that's not biblical confession. That's what the world says is confession. And so what happens is we end up living our lives every time we sin. Here's our pattern of our life. Here it is. Sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. And here's the problem. We don't ever get to see the supernatural. We never see what Romans 8:39 says. Nay, we are more than conquerors. We never get to see, get this, we never get to see that he died, that we may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. We never get to see that. We never get to see the John 14, verse number 12, greater things are you going to do. We never get to see that. And I'm convinced the reason why is because we have this hindrance in our life, just like King Saul has, where we had confession, I'm sorry, God, without repentance, but I really don't want to change. And this morning, I'd like to prove to you that it's worthless. Now, the truth is, when somebody gets up here and preaches a message like this, our first thought is, hey, that's not for me. That's for so-and-so. Isn't it amazing how God knew what we were going to think when he put it in the book? And so here's what he's done. He's given us characteristics to help us understand who this is in their life. And this morning, I'd like to look at 4 characteristics of an individual that has confession. I'm sorry, God, without repentance, but I really don't want to change. Pick up the story with me as we come into 1 Samuel chapter 15, well-known portion of Scripture. But pick up the reading with me, verse number 1, as we look at the first tendency, as we look at 4 tendencies of individuals that have this confession. without repentance. Look what your Bible says. Samuel also said unto Saul, verse 1, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember which Amalek did to Israel, how he had laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So we see God says through the preacher Samuel, hey, I want you to go and utterly destroy everything of the Amalekites. Look with me at verse number 8, though. And he, King Saul, took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatling, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Let me help you out here as we look at four tendencies of an individual that has this confession, I'm sorry, God, without repentance, but I really don't want to change. Number one, the first tendency that we see is there's a tendency to belittle obedience. There's a tendency to say, you know what? It's really not that important that I obey. Now, isn't this interesting? Anyone here think that in verse number 3, the command that God gives Saul is cloudy or gray or could be misunderstood? Does anyone here think that? Raise your hand. No. When God says, hey, I want you to utterly destroy everything, that's pretty clear, isn't it? There's no like, well, I see that there's an interpretation of the scripture that allows me to have this thought that I could do this. No, really, in this portion, there's nothing like that there. It's pretty clear. But notice Saul's response. Saul says in verse number 8, and he took Agag, the king of Amalek, or the Amalekites, alive. Now, there was a custom in the Bible day where if you conquered a nation many times, you would prance the king of that nation that you just conquered around as almost like a trophy, as a symbol of victory. Now, watch. That might have been the custom of the day, but is that what God's command was? No. You know what I tell people? There's three parts of obedience, okay? Got it? Three parts. If you want to biblically obey, there's three things. Here it is. You got to do exactly what you're told the moment you are told with the right heart attitude. Did you get that? Do exactly what you're told the moment you are told with the right heart attitude. You might say it this way, three words, exactly, immediately, cheerfully. However you like to say it, I don't care. But truthfully, that's the only thing that God considers obedience. In everything else, now in baseball, if you're 2 out of 3, that's really good, okay? You're going to be a Hall of Famer. If you're 1 out of 3, hey, you're going to have a job making millions of dollars, okay? But in the Christian life, 1 out of 3 is 0. 2 out of 3 is still 0. You and I must completely obey. Now, look what happens. Look what happens. Because Saul's just like us. Saul's just like us. You say, what are you talking about? Well, pick up the reading with me. As we look at verse number 22, look what the Bible says. As the preacher says, hey, what'd you do this for? Look at verse 22. And Samuel, after he described, Saul describes why he did this in verse 21, he says in Samuel, verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Do you see what God's word says? Hey, because you thought that obedience or wasn't that important, you belittled obedience. Here's what he says. Hey, I have rejected you as king. And I love what the preacher says. The preacher says, hey, which one's greater? Is sacrifice or obedience greater? Hey, that's a good question. You know why? I have found this, that Ian, many times, Evan, I should say, we often get real good here at Ambassador doing the outward things. Did you get it? Why? Because you have to fill out a CSR. Hello? We got real good at the outward structure of living the Christian life. But isn't it interesting that right here, the preacher says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Does that mean that sacrifice is not important? That the rituals that they did? No. That was all part of worshiping God. But get it. If the obedience isn't right, then the sacrifice isn't going to be right. You know what he said? This is amazing. In verse number 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Get this. The rebellion means this, independent. For when we are independent of God, what are you talking about? When you decide not to do what your teacher says? It's amazing that Saul here justifies his means of his disobedience. He does. When you decide to lie on your CSRs, get it? Rebellion. I don't need to live within that. Can I tell you what that is? That's a clear sign or a tendency of a person that has confession. I'm sorry, God. But without repentance, but I'm really not going to change. But notice the second tendency. Pick up the reading with me as we follow along here in verse number 12. And when the morning, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Look at verse 23. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now that's pretty interesting, isn't it? All of a sudden the preacher shows up. And what's King Saul say? Blessed be thou of the Lord, for I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And I love what the preacher said. Hey, what meanest thou the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? Uh-oh, we're busted. Why are we busted? Because didn't God say completely destroy everything? Shouldn't be any sheep noises, and I don't know the noise that oxen make. Lowing? Lowing? I don't know, but if you can help me with that, that'll help me in my biblical studies. And look what the Bible says in verse number 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. The second tendency I find when people have this problem of confession, I'm sorry, God, without repentance, is not only is there a tendency to belittle obedience, but number two, there's a tendency, get this, to blame others. You know what he says? Preacher, it's not my fault. Preacher, it's the people. They spared the best of the sheep. Matter of fact, look at verse 21. He's describing the problem. Look what he says. But the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen, the chief things which we should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You know what he's saying? He says, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Hey, I am the victim. Oh my. Can I tell you, if you're the victim all the time, you're never going to have victory. Did you get that? If you play the victim card, well, you know, I would have done my homework, but my roommate kept me up and they talked to me all night long. You know what I say about that? It's time to grow up. Why? Because out there in the real world, they don't care. You know what the saying is down here? Get her done. It's written over every pickup truck in the South. Get the concept. Stop blaming people. Stop blaming your mom. Stop blaming your dad. Stop blaming the home that you lived in. Why you're not living that supernatural life. Would you stop it? Would you stop it? There's one reason. Here it is. You. There's one reason. We need to stop blaming the church that we grew up in. We need to stop blaming Ambassador Baptist College isn't the reason why I'm not the way I should be. Really? Come on. Look in a mirror. You'll figure out the reason. And what's so sad is this tendency, watch this, distracts us from seeing the truth that the reason why we have this confession without repentance is because we don't want to be the one to be blamed for it. And really, there's only one reason. You made a choice not to do your homework. You made a choice, get this, to date that guy or that girl. You made a choice to go to that place or to hang out with those people. Now watch. You can blame everybody but yourself. You can do that. But can I tell you this? You don't get to see the supernatural. You don't get to see the revived life. Hey, you know what? I go around the country and I preach revival. We preach revivals about 40 a week, or 40 a week, if that could only be done. Amen. About 40 a year. And you know what I tell people? Until there's a realization that something is wrong, there is no revival. I mean, I know we're really good, Abby, at looking at everybody else's problems and identifying it like that. Let me tell you Abby's problems. And we'll just go and rattle all the things that we see that are wrong in Abby's life. But the truth is, we got to stop doing that and start looking at our own life. Why? And I told my kids this morning in our Bible class this morning, I said, guys, you can fool dad. You can fool mom. You can fool people that are around us. But here's the problem. We don't provide the blessings. God does. And you can't fool him. So really, you're just fooling yourself. And what King Saul does here, he says, you know what? It's not me. It's somebody else's fault. But let me give you the third tendency. Look what he says in verse number 20. The Bible says, and Saul said unto the preacher, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord has sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, number three, the third tendency I find is true in many, many people that have this hindrance that stops them from experiencing the supernatural is, thirdly, there's a tendency to believe your own opinion. You know what's amazing? How many of you here believe that King Saul obeyed the command that was given to him. Raise your hand. You believe he obeyed. King Saul did, okay? King Saul did. He says, yea, I have believed. I have obeyed. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord hath and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You see what he does? What he does is he takes what he thinks, get this, and makes it his God. Hey, we're not asking you to become clones of Jake DeAndre or Dr. Comfort or Brother B. We're not asking you to do that. It's not that you can't have an opinion. It's not that you can't have your preference. We're not asking that. Here's what we're asking, though. You have to obey God's word. That's what we're telling you. I'm not asking, you know, Dr. Comfort said it so well when I was here. He's like, I don't want you to be a mini Dr. Comfort. Not the emphasis on the word mini, but, you know, that'd be really small, wouldn't it? But we're not asking you to be that, okay? God has given you a personality for a reason. God has given you a style for a reason. He's made you an introvert or an extrovert. That's great. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. Many times, you know what Christians do? We kind of live by our own theology instead of according to this book. Now watch. That doesn't help. Matter of fact, what I find is that is usually the problem that when we go into churches and we try to help them take the steps it takes so that they can experience the supernatural. Here's where the stumbling block is. Here's where the hindrance is. Here's the roadblock. Well, this is what I think. It's said so often, Brother Hanke. And so here it is. Can I tell you the hardship of ministry? Here it is. Changing people's mindsets. That is ministry in a nutshell. Because everyone doesn't have the same mindset as ambassador. So now you're struggling because you're trying to preach the word of God. You graduated, you're being a pastor, a youth pastor, and you're getting totally frustrated. You know why you're totally frustrated? Because it doesn't sound like anybody cares what you think. But you know what your job is? You know what your job is? Here it is. To convince them that what God's word says is best. And can I tell you, most of the time, that doesn't happen by preaching one message. It's a lifetime commitment of continuously showing the love of Christ and the truth. Love, truth, grace. Watch. So they stop believing their own opinion. Go with me to the last one. Look with me as we read verse number 24, 25. And Saul, King Saul, said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, this would be King Saul speaking, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. You know what I find in the fourth one? The fourth tendency that I find is often in those that have confession. I'm sorry, God, but I really don't want to change without repentance. It's simply, number four, they have a tendency to babble the oracles. You know what that means? It means this. We know what to say. If you're here an ambassador, can I tell you this? You're top notch. You say, did you just tell us we were top notch? I did. We don't usually get here, ambassador, those that have no clue what the gospel is. Most of you here in this room have been in church all of your life. Here's the problem with that, though. One of the things that we struggle with, because we've been in church, we've been around church, we've grown up in church, is we often become very self-righteous. And we know what to say. We know the etiquette to be. We know how to act when we're around those type of people. Now, I don't know if there's a cure for that, but I know this. The words looked right. They sounded right. But the heart wasn't right. You say, how do you know that? Well, jump down to verse number 30. After Samuel says, the Lord's rejected you as king, listen to his tone in verse number 30. Then he, Samuel, or Saul said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Wait a minute. Whoa. Ease up, King Saul. What's going on? A little different, isn't it? God tells Samuel, he's done. Matter of fact, look at verse number 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. See the contrast between those that confess and repent and those that confess with no repentance. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Worth. How many of you in this room would like to see the supernatural in your life? Raise your hand. Hey, this is normal. If I ask that question across America, guess what? I get the same results. Man, we all want to see it. But here's my question to you. When you sin against the holiness of God, and you tell God, God, I'm sorry. Did you really mean that? Would you bow with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed here this morning, church family. This morning we've looked at this idea of confession, I'm sorry, God, without repentance, but I really don't want to change. And truthfully, this morning, church or college family, all of us in this room, including this preacher, there's been times in which this is true in our life. There's no one exempt from it. Matter of fact, I would even go as far to say that this is our default mode. Why? Because we're real quick at telling God we're sorry after we sin because, hey, we go to Ambassador Baptist College. We want to be used in ministry. But though we go to Ambassador Baptist College and we want to be used in ministry, I'm afraid too many of us in our minds really don't want to change. And so the pattern of our lives, if we would be honest with ourselves, is simply this. Sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. And we really don't get to experience the victory over sin that when Jesus Christ died, he said, I've got victory over the grave and I've got victory over death. The sting of death is sin. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit's doing one of these. Just a little knocking. Because you're like I am, and there's times where, hey, I hate even to admit this, but I've got some confession without repentance. And this morning the Holy Spirit's asking you the same question that my sister asked me, did you really mean that? Maybe you're here this morning, you'd be honest with yourself and honest with God, and you'd say, Brother Jake, Holy Spirit spoke into my heart this morning. I want to see the supernatural. Would you pray with me that I'd have confession with repentance? I might say it this way, confession and see my sin the way God sees my sin. Hey, if that's you with every head bowed, every eye closed, but the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart right now, you say, Preacher, that's me. Would you quietly just raise your hand up in the air? Say, Preacher, that's me. Hands, hands, and more hands all across the auditorium here tonight. Here's what I'm going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. After we're done praying, we're going to stand. The piano will begin. God speaking to your heart. Hey, we've got to respond. You say, why? Because tomorrow I want to see the supernatural. I want my heart to be prepared to see young people saved, surrendered, and given their lives to doing right in my lifetime. Would you come? Would you ask the Lord to help you not be like King Saul? Father, you're a great God. Lord, you can take us who are imperfect, who are unfaithful, who are at times unloving. Father, you can use us. I'm always amazed by that. And Father, this morning, this weekend, you want to use this student body in an amazing way. Lord, I know that if you're ever going to use us, you've got to prepare us. Lord, I've got some friends here this morning that need a little help from you. Lord, would you help them? Lord, would you convict, correct, and challenge our hearts and minds here this morning? Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name.